Our scripture reading today is taken from page 91 in your pew Bibles, Leviticus chapter 4, and we'll be reading verses 1 through 12. And I will read the passage. If you can follow along, that would be helpful. Just because of the repetition, it can be a little confusing. So I will read verses 1 through 12. Hear the words of the Lord. Now the Lord spoke to Moses, saying, "Speak to the children of Israel, saying, if a person sins unintentionally against any of the commandments of the Lord in anything which ought not to be done and does any of them, if the anointed priest sins, bringing guilt on the people, then let him offer to the Lord for his sin, which he has sinned, a young bull without blemish as a sin offering. He shall bring the bull to the door of the tabernacle of meeting before the Lord, lay his hand on the bull's head, and kill the bull before the Lord. Then the anointed priest shall take some of the bull's blood and bring it to the tabernacle of meeting. The priest shall dip his finger in the blood and sprinkle some of the blood seven times before the Lord in front of the veil of the sanctuary. And the priest shall put some of the blood on the horns of the altar of sweet incense before the Lord, which is in the tabernacle of meeting. And he shall pour the remaining blood of the bull at the base of the altar of burnt offering, which is at the door of the tabernacle of meeting. He shall take from it all the fat of the bull as the sin offering, the fat that covers the entrails and all the fat which is on the entrails, the two kidneys and the fat that is on them by the flanks and the fatty lobe attached to the liver above the kidneys he shall remove. As it was taken from the bull of the sacrifice of the peace offering, and the priest shall burn them on the altar of the burnt offering. But the bull's hide and all its flesh with its head and legs, its entrails and offal, the whole bull he shall carry outside the camp to a clean place where the ashes are poured out, and burn it on wood with fire where the ashes are poured out. It shall be burned." That is the word of God for us today. And may God bless it to our hearts. The offering of sin. Our brothers and sisters in Jesus Christ, we've looked at so far the burnt offering, and think of the base offering, the foundational offering, which showed a total dedication to God. And that then, when that problem was resolved, it formed the basis of the next two offerings, which is the thank offering, which we look up to God and we say, "Thank you for this burnt offering." And then we looked at the fellowship offering. That's the relationship offering now. And we can think, while there's an aspect where we have fellowship with God, we also have fellowship with each other. So there's the base, there's the thank offering, and then there's a fellowship offering. If man could just use those three and live perfectly, that would have been fine. The problem is man sins against God. He fails to live up to the righteous standards that God established. He's not always thankful as he should for the burnt offering. He doesn't live well with his people in the fellowship offering. So he has that problem, that new problem of sin. And that's what you will hear about. The fourth offering deals with the complication of those first three offerings. Now, I will encourage you to read the rest of the chapter, but you will see the main point of the sin offering in verses 1 through 12 that describes for us how the priest made an offering, a sin offering for himself. There you will see the three other types of sin offerings for the congregation. That's all the people. Then for the leaders as a group. And then for the ordinary or the common man. Our headings today are three: the nature of the offering, the method of the offering, and the purpose of the offering. And our goals are that you will make it your daily habit to confess your failings before the Lord so your relationship can be clean and pure, and that you can advance God's cause in the world. There's nothing that hinders our relationship from progressing than unconfessed sin, unresolved conflict. And that's true in any family, and it's also true in God's family. So let's look first at the nature of the sin offering, the nature of the sin offering. Now, the sin offering was not a sweet aroma offering like the peace offering and the Thanksgiving offering. The Thanksgiving offering marked a good relationship. The peace offering marked a fellowship and unity with brothers. So it was pleasant to God. This one was not that way. This one was a sin offering and it dealt with God's justice. So it was called a non-sweet aroma. The sin offering was also a compulsory offering. It was made for all people, all men, women, boys, girls, leaders, citizens, priests. It was not a free will or an optional offering like the fellowship offering. Now, the language of our translation seems to suggest that the sin offering was simply for unintentional sins. But that's the problem of our language, not the God's problem. We don't have any way of really translating what that word means. That word means much more. It means the sin by mistake or ignorance or mishap or oversight, just not doing something that you should, forgetting to do something. Anything that makes you, that brings shame to God. More, this offering really was made for those sins that are more public. Offerings that would make you feel ashamed. And it's interesting, the word is the word that is unintentional sin there is shagaga, which is how we talked about in school. Whatever makes you gag when you are aware of your sin, you say, oh, how could I do that? That's the sin offering. The problem for us, though, when we think of sin, there is a specific definition, and then there's a general definition. A specific definition for sin is like you shoot at the target and you fall short. So we would say the narrow definition of sin is to not do what you're required to do. But sin is also used in a general sense, like when the Bible says we're all sinners. It means when we don't meet God's standards. So it could mean the missing the mark, or it could also mean trespass. There's a definite or the limited meaning, and then there's a general meaning for sin. In this case, it means all kinds of sin. It's a general word for sin. And if you look at verse 2, you will see that it was not as limited as the word unintentional suggests. In verse 2, if you do anything which ought not to be done, that's quite broad. And this is why this is considered the most important of the offerings, because it covers the broadest variety of sin. Now, what was this offering made of, this sin offering, for breaking God's law, especially in a public way? It was they used goats and sheep and bulls. These were the common types of sin offerings. And in some extreme cases of poverty, you could bring pigeons or doves and even fine flour if you had no blood sacrifice to offer. I remember the Lord Jesus, when his parents came to the temple, they brought doves or pigeons. They were quite poor, and so they brought what they could afford. The general rule was this, though. If you had the resources, the higher your position, the greater the sacrifice you had to make. And you will see how that plays out shortly. What lessons can we learn then from just looking at the nature of the sin offering? First of all, God tells you how to worship Him. This is called the regulative principle of worship. God did not leave it to your creative imagination. That's popular these days. Let's give God the best we can, we think we should offer. And that's why you see in some churches, let's give God an applause of praise, which is more praise of the preacher rather than God himself. But God never asked for an applause. Suppose someone said here, well, God says he wanted these clean animals, but I have a nice donkey I'd like to offer. Would God be pleased with that? No. You worship God the way he says. Second, you must thank God that you have the regulative principle of worship. As you would not know how to worship him and how to please him. And remember, in the Bible, the worst punishment is reserved not for murderers, but for those who polluted the worship of God by offering things God did not want. So thank him for it. One more lesson. No sin is ignored by God. God never condones sin. Even of the greatest Christian, God condemns even the smallest sin that people say, yeah. I talked to someone yesterday who said it was not so bad, never did too many wrong things, and God would let it go. No. No. All your sins have to be paid by Jesus, or you will have to pay for it. And even one sin will send you to the eternal damnation of hell. So how was this sacrifice then done? The method of the offering. As I mentioned, there were four different types of offerings. From the priest, from the congregation, from the leaders of the community, and then the ordinary person. We will only focus on the priest. You can see that there are similarities, and you can learn about that yourself. But the priest would, if he brought an offering for his sin, he would bring a young bull, the largest sacrifice God required. Remember, higher the position, greater the sacrifice, because higher the position, the more serious the sin. So he brought the offering to the door of the tabernacle, that means outside. He would lay his hands on his head, and the head of the bull would be cut off. And then he took some of the blood into the tabernacle, the priest who would be administering this. He would dip his finger in the blood and sprinkle it seven times in front of the veil of the holiest place. Seven times meaning that it's totally satisfying God's anger. Seven, the number of completion. And then he would put some of the blood on the horns of the altar that's in front of the holiest place. That was a picture of where the Holy Spirit was, a picture of his work and his prayer, because that's where the incense would go up to God, picturing the work of the Holy Spirit praying for us. Then he would pour the remaining blood on the base of the altar outside of the tabernacle. Then he would take the two kidneys. Remember, kidneys was a seat of affection. If he were saying that today, God would say, take the heart. But the kidneys were looked upon as a seat of affection, the source of love. You would say, I love God with all my kidneys. And therefore God said, take the kidneys and the fat, which was a sweet-smelling aroma to God, and they would burn this on the altar. Then the rest of the animal, like all the innards and the skin and all of that, would be taken outside of the city, and there it would be burned. None of the sacrifice was eaten unless it was for something relatively minor. But the rest of the animal taken outside of the city and burned. If the congregation were doing this, the whole congregation would take a young bull, which shows there was a lessening of the requirement. If a priest sinned, he had to, by himself, bring a young bull. But if the whole congregation sins in committing a particular sin or following some bad way, they would only have to bring one young bull. And they would do for it as the priest did before. What about the leaders? If a leader sins and brings a sin offering, he would bring a young goat as an offering for his sin. He would lay his hand on his head and kill it like before. Again, you see a lessening now of the requirements. There's still an animal had to be killed. Still the sacrifice, but the requirements were less. The blood would take, the priest would take some of the blood and put it on the horns of the altar outside, on the outside altar, not the inside one like before, but the main altar where the sacrifices were being made. And then he would pour the rest of the blood on the base of the altar. And the rest of the animal was taken outside the city and burned as usual. Then the fourth type of sin offering was for the ordinary person. So if someone recognized that he sinned against God, that guilty person would bring a young female goat, lay his hand on its head and kill it. So now the animal is getting even smaller for the ordinary person. The priest would take the blood and put some on the horns of the outside altar and pour the rest of the blood on the base of the altar as before. The fat was burned as before as a pleasant offering. In this case, though, the kidneys were not required. What do we see? Now, it's easy to say, is God lessening his requirement? No, not at all. But it's showing the seriousness. You have to see it in the reverse. That when a priest sinned, it was far more consequential. When the whole congregation sinned, it was more consequential. When the leaders, the political leaders sinned, that was consequential. So there's a decline in it, but you can look at it the other way and see the higher the position, the greater the consequence of sin. Now, we said before, all the offal, the skin and the waste were taken outside of the city and burned. But here's what I want you to think of when you saw that, when you hear this today. You know what happens? I don't know if you've ever seen when a bull is killed. There is an enormous amount of blood. Just the human body, we have 8 pints of blood about in our bodies. Imagine a big bull. What happened then? And what did they do with that blood? They poured it on the base of the altar. I don't know if you know what happens, but give blood 2 days. It's an amazingly awful smell. It looks terrible. Clotting of blood, which in that heat would clot very quickly. It's gross looking. And it would smell bad. That's why they had all this incense there to cover over some of the smells. And it reminded the offerer that his sin were a stench in God's nostrils. And when the offerer would do this, whether the priest or the congregation or the leader or the individual, they would confess their sins as part of the sacrifice. And when they would look and saw what they deserved, they would be forgiven. So this was not just some ritual. It was accompanied by the confession of sins. What can we learn today then from this? First of all men must confess their sins before God. This is like laying your hands on Jesus as your sacrifice. And we go to him, and that's why we end our prayers and we say, in Jesus' name. Because our sins were put upon him, just like the offerer would put his hand upon the head of the animal that would be sacrificed. So we don't have to die. So that his death will be counted as our death. Second, higher the position, the worse the sin. So if a father steals, that's worse than if a child steals. God demands more with your higher position. That's why it's important that you set a good example as parents, or as elders, or as deacons, or as pastors. God will hold the judges of our land more responsible than the ordinary citizen. Our political leaders, what they do, have far greater consequences if they sin. You see the shame that happens if a preacher does some wicked act. How people look down and they're ashamed of what he did because of his higher position. Our prime minister will have to give a greater account to God. The punishment would be more severe upon him, who has decided we need to send more money to kill African babies by abortion. Well, God will hold him more responsible because of his higher position. You know what that means? Not to look down, but to pray for a prime minister. Pray that God will open his eyes and that he will see the wickedness of his ways and turn to God. But there's also this important, most important lesson. And it's reminding us of this. Without the shedding of blood, there is no remission of sins. Every other religion in the world tells you God will wish away your sins. Maybe if you do something, or maybe just because God is nice. Their God is nice. Not the God of the Bible. He is a just God, and he said blood must be shed. Either your blood or somebody better than you. And who is there better than you but the Lord Jesus? And that's what sets up our final point. The purpose of the sin offering. The purpose of the sin offering. Well, the sin offering was made to be like a blanket. A blanket that covers the offerer from God's judgment for his failure to live up to the family name. I often remind you that the word that we use here, the technical word is expiated. Expiated man's sins. And the word for that is kafir, and it's very similar to the word cover. Not intentionally, it's not the root word, it just is a way to remind us that the Lord covers our sins, expiated our sins. So instead of the punishment being put upon the sinner, it was put upon the sacrifice instead, and that protected man from God's judgment. But the question is this. The animal, the young bull or the goat, the male goat, female goat, and so on. Did the animal offering really expiate sins? And the answer is no. No. The blood of cows and sheep and goats could not wash away sins. Rather, the offerer had to have in mind the work of the coming Savior, who would be the animal, the Lamb of God, who would take away the sins of the world. You see, animals are not equal to us. And we didn't need someone equal. We need someone better than we were. And animals were not. So we had to have in mind the work of the coming Savior. Say, how can we prove that Jesus was the one who covered our sins? And not the animals that were sacrificed, that were offered there. Well, the Apostle Paul said, taught us this very clearly, and some others as well, and we'll look at them now. He meant that Jesus became that sin offering for you. 2 Corinthians now, chapter 5, verse 21. If you have your notes, we say together, for he made him who knew no sin to be sin for us, that we might become the righteousness of God in him. So when Jesus was before Pilate, you remember, he stayed silent. He did not say a word. And Pilate says, you don't want to answer? Well, Jesus didn't want to say anything. Why? Because he was guilty of your sin and mine. He was like the lamb before the shearer. You ever seen the lamb arguing back? Or lamb that's going, or the sheep before the shearer, lamb before the one who was going to kill him. He didn't know. He acted like he did not know what was happening. But he had to remain silent because he was guilty. Isaiah chapter 53, verse 6 and 7. Together, all we like sheep have gone astray. We have turned everyone to his own way. And the Lord has laid on him the iniquity of us all. He was oppressed and he was afflicted, yet he opened not his mouth. He was led as a lamb to the slaughter, and as a sheep before its shearers is silent, so he opened not his mouth. And every Old Testament believer knew this. I mean, Isaiah was saying this long before, 750 years before Jesus, he was saying that. And just as the animal was born outside of the city, remember describing all the animal, the legs and the skin and all of that, so Jesus himself had to be buried, killed and buried outside of the city. In Hebrews chapter 13, verses 11 through 13, we read together, for the bodies of those animals whose blood is brought into the sanctuary by the high priest for sin are burned outside the camp. Therefore, Jesus also, that he might sanctify the people with his own blood, suffered outside the gate. Therefore, let us go forth to him outside the camp, bearing his reproach. Two things there. outside the gate means outside the city gates. And the second part, that we must then bear his reproach. In other words, we must live testifying to what he did for us. To put it in the clearest way, Jesus was our animal that God sent. And Jesus alone was the animal who would expiate, cover your sins. There are two lessons here. First of all, and I mean, maybe this applies more to women more than men. A woman goes in her closet, looks in and says, I have nothing to wear. And that may be true. Maybe I've never heard that to be true, but maybe it is somewhere. But is that true for your soul as well? No. You have the covering of Jesus, a covering which lasts forever. This is a covering that never gets old, that never goes out of style. You know, you've got some clothes, you think, did I really wear that? But you never say that about the sacrifice of Jesus. It's always fresh and loving. When you think of that, you smile because you know your sins are gone and they're gone forever. It's the most valuable thing you have. Love the sacrifice of Jesus that covers your sins. Cherish the sacrifice of Jesus that covers your sins. And second thing is this. Consistent with that, there's no Christianity without the cross. I think that's very common in North America. People who say they're Christians without caring about the cross. Many who consider themselves Christians, but they do so because they say, well, I went to church when I was a child, or I was baptized. But if they don't understand and believe in the sacrifice of Jesus for the covering of their sins, they are going to hell. There's no nice way of saying that. So do you have friends like this who say they're Christians, but they don't really believe that the cross was essential? Maybe they believe Jesus came to set a good example for us to follow, as many people believe today. If you're a true friend, don't let them die that way. Confront them about their false hope. Love them enough to do so. Let's conclude. The sin offering was a non-sweet aroma, compulsory offering for public sins and failing to live up to God's righteous standards, to the family name. To make the offering, the offerer would place his hand on the head of the animal and its head would be cut off and some blood sprinkled and poured as required. Some parts were offered to God and the rest taken out of the city and burned. And with that done, the offerer would have his sins covered and God would be pleased with him. This was the most important offering of all, because it covered the most sins. Sins of omission and sins of commission. Remember, this is the general word for sin. So brothers and sisters in Jesus Christ, everyone fails to do what God expects them to do. We don't just rest on the burnt offering. We don't thank God like we should. And our relationship with each other sometimes gets messed up. So those three offerings, perfectly done, would be fine, but we don't receive them perfectly. And it doesn't matter what position you are, you still fail. It's good reason to pray for each other regularly. And the higher the position, the parents, the pastor, the politicians, the professors, the worse the sin. But instead of letting shame destroy you, cast your sin and shame on Jesus as he paid it all. Lay your sins on Jesus as we sing, the spotless Lamb of God. This covering of sin is available to everyone who calls. The question is then, will you tell others? You know it. You're called to do it when you bring shame to Christ. But will you tell others who don't know that Jesus, that they can call on Jesus and have their sins forgiven as well? I hope you will love others enough to do so. And if you are not a Christian, you have no basis of confessing your sins. You might talk that way, but your prayers are only going into the air. There's no way your prayer will reach heaven. The only way you can confess your sins is if you are a child of God. And the only way you can become a child of God is if you hold on to the life of Jesus, His life of obedience, and the death of Jesus, and claim them as your own. Let us pray. Thank you, Heavenly Father, that you have given us your word to hear again today. We know, Lord, that we could not pay for our sins. We didn't even want to pay for our sins. But you provided, in the Old Testament, you provided this beautiful picture of the animal sacrifices picturing the work of the Lord Jesus Christ. And today, we have seen it in full. We have seen the record of our Lord Jesus Christ going to the cross. And as it were, we laid our hands on Him. And so our sins were put on Him. And He died and was buried. But He rose triumphantly from the dead. And because He was raised, we could be raised as well. Our sins are removed, Lord, and if the world wants to know why we are happy, it is because our sins are gone, placed on the Lord Jesus Christ. So, Heavenly Father, hear us and bless us in this, that we will now live victoriously, not with the load of sin upon our lives, that we will live in thanksgiving to you, that we will live in fellowship, good fellowship with our brothers and sisters in Jesus Christ, knowing that Jesus was our sin offering. Hear us, we pray, for Jesus' sake. Amen.